702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
I've got two guests with me to try and help us delve into the progress made or lack of by the National Prosecuting Authority in South Africa, and just looking at the 5 years of the appointment of Shamila Batoi. Of course, we can't blame all the issues on one person. It's an institution that she leads. If it does well, she'll get the credit. If it does badly, she will also get the demerit to the effect. And as a result, we want to reflect on the past 5 years, especially on the backdrop of state capture, the Zondo Commission, and there has just been quite a lot in the previous 5 years. We've heard about corruption. Have they really made inroads? We've heard about shenanigans in government and in the private sector. How far did they go? And of course, Marcus Yoste, they were saying that they were just about to kick off a proper proceedings after the charges had been preferred against him. What's your sense? I'd love to hear from you, because this institution, beyond this conversation, is meant to be serving you. My guest right now joining us is Michael Marchant, who's the head of investigations at Open Secrets. Michael, thanks for joining us. Welcome to 702.
Morning, Tabo. Morning to those listening.
And Stephanie Fick, Executive Director of the Accountability Division at Outer. Stephanie, hi, welcome.
Morning, Tobe. Yes, a very interesting conversation. Thank you so much for inviting us.
No, thanks for making time to speak to us, but more importantly, to share your thoughts and insights with our listeners. Whenever we think of NPA, we don't think of it just in a vacuum. There's a history prior to Shamila Batoi being appointed. We remember the revolving door, especially in the leadership roles. We remember cases that might have been labeled political. And we remember also somehow instability in different years that we have experienced. Maybe kicking off with you, Stephanie, do you think, reflecting back to the 5 years that we have experienced under Shamila Batoi, did they turn a corner?
I do think that they're on the path of recovery. I think state capture did a lot of damage, and they did a lot of damage to the NPA as well. Have we reached a stage where we can sit back and say, you know what, crime is under control and prosecutions is, you know, the story of the day? Unfortunately not. Will it take a while? Probably. But are there still room for improvement? Yes. Fortunately or unfortunately, I think this, our fight against crime, and part of that is, the NPA's ability to prosecute not only state capture, but the day-to-day crime that is still plaguing our communities.
Well, where do you think that they've done better since the period that you have been referring to now? Which areas?
I do think that, I think it's very unfair to only, look at state capture, although that is an extremely important part of their job. They have a very unique job. They are constitutionally the institution that is responsible for prosecutions. But saying that, we also must understand that they are part of law enforcement, and that, prosecutors can only prosecute the cases that is brought to them by law enforcement agencies like the SAPS, SIU, etc. And that part of their success is heavily relying on the success of our police. And whether that is at a point where we can say, yes, we were successful, unfortunately not. I do think that they have, their success is leaps and bounds in trying to fix the organization internally. In other words, I think after state capture, there was, you need to look after your people. And there's still some good people in the NPA that, when they get up in the morning, all they want to do is make a difference. I think in the public space, unfortunately, we haven't seen the successes I think we were all hoping for. And even, after the article yesterday about this corporate alternative dispute resolution, they referred to cases in the state capture, you know, that happened over the state capture period. For example, the first question I was asking is, where's the ESCOM cases? So we haven't seen the success I think we are hoping for. I'm also a bit worried that although the NPA, there were some successes, and we have to include the successes on a daily basis, not just state capture cases, and that they are still functioning and that they are trying to get more resources because they need, they have resource constraints. Is it enough? And I don't think so. I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
Michael, it appears that your piece that you wrote with your colleague Kenny Van Vieren seems to take a different view altogether. Despite the strides that have been mentioned by Stephanie now, you believe that the organization actually has got a long way to go and it's nowhere near the success that has been claimed. Where do you think they're going wrong?
Yeah, Thabo, I think that, you know, I would agree with Stephanie on many of the points that she's raised. Certainly that the MPA is in a better position now than it was in 5 years ago, and that there have been steps taken, you know, to rebuild the institution in that period. I think, though, that that was a very low bar. And I think the point that we've been trying to make at Open Secrets is that certainly from the public perspective and in terms of public trust, and I think that the MPA have admitted that this themselves, is that justice has to be seen to be done. And what the MPA has not been able to get right over the last few years is it hasn't been able to move from enrolling a case to actively pushing a prosecution forward. I think it's one of the biggest shortcomings of the institution of the last few years. If you look at the high profile cases that Shamila Botoy and others at the MPA do mention, almost all of those have only been brought to court and then either have been struck off due to delays, due to investigative failures, including by the Hawks and the police, as Stefania said. And what we haven't seen is the MPA being able to take that case from being enrolled and charges being brought to some kind of successful prosecution. And I think that that is what is so difficult in terms of public trust, is that the MPA can talk about, for example, a high conviction rate on corruption cases. But for general members of the public, the failure to bring in high profile cases, the really important complex cases that have had the biggest public cost and public impact. You know, Stefani mentions ESCOM. I would say the same is true for cases such as PRASA and the collapse of our rail systems. You know, the failure to make progress on those, I think, really undermines the public trust because they're not seeing a successful prosecution. They're not seeing a change in terms of the consequences, accountability, and a proper end to impunity.
I mean, would you agree with Shamila Batoy Michael, if Shamila argued that it would take time and it is a process, not an event, but most importantly, to rid the organization of bad apples internally would be more productive and would ensure that perhaps effective prosecution takes place, and there were plenty of those prior to a time?
I would agree, Thabo, that it's going to take time. I think what is concerning, and particularly for the state capture cases, I think what we tend to do is we tend to take the Zondo Commission findings as the kind of start of the clock. And that's not entirely true. You know, for many of these high profile corruption cases, and I would mention PRASA again as an example, you had the board of PRASA under Popo Molefe taking cases to the MPA and to the Hawks nearly 10 years ago now. And nearly 3 years ago, the MPA told Parliament and the Hawks told Parliament that those cases were 90% complete. And yet here we are all those years later, and we're yet to see a successful prosecution. And so what we're seeing is that every year we have slightly different reasons given for the delay, but we don't have a proper accounting for why those cases have not moved forward. I think, Thabo, you raise another really important point here, and Stefani also mentioned this, is it's the MPA's grappling internally with how to deal with employees internally who have been implicated in wrongdoing. I think this is admittedly one of the biggest challenges that the MPA has had. And we've started to see some movement on that over the last year. However, I think it's proven very difficult for them. And if you look at the Zondo Commission, we had very, very serious allegations made against senior prosecutors about them pursuing cases without merit, delaying and slowing down cases of those that they were connected with. And yet, bar one or two processes that have started, we're actually yet to see any accountability within the institution. And I think that that, you know, in addition to the delays, it's another huge reason for concern. Although we have seen some movements in that regard, I think we need to see a lot more.
It's 18 minutes after 11 o'clock. You're on 702.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
And we call this segment The Dialogue, and we are looking at the NPA. Have they been able to turn it around successfully? Is the NPA more efficient, more competent now than it ever was before? My guests, Michael Merchant, Head of Investigations at Open Secrets, and Stephanie Fick, Executive Director at of the Accountability Division at AUTA. And we are looking at the role of the NPA of late. Have they turned a corner? Are they more efficient than before? This is on the backdrop of a media roundtable yesterday with the National Director of Public Prosecutions, Shamila Batoy, who was appointed 5 years ago and was reflecting on her tenure, challenges and some milestones. I'd like to hear from you as an ordinary South African. I mean, the NPA used to be in the news for bad reasons almost every now and then. Has that changed for you? What feeling do you have when you interact with the NPA? Do you get a sense that things are moving along? It's become far more efficient or not? I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Alternatively, send us a text message at 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Thabo. You're speaking to Mugeti from Soweto. Thabo, this issue of the NPA, it's a total disaster. Pity I'm not a law expert, so I won't be able to put my issues as perspective as I'm supposed to. But no, it is a definite failure. I don't think Shamila was the right candidate. She hasn't shown any interest or whatever. She's just as good as ANC with having so beautiful documented plans and attributions, but no action. So, yeah, this is a total disappointment. I'm telling you, I can count on and on. Unfortunately, this cannot be longer. Voice note. Thank you.
Stephanie, let me come to you. I mean, Michael has just given us an impression of some low-hanging fruit, perhaps missed opportunities, and some may even call them own goals. Do you feel that, do you think that they could have done them differently, or are we not privy to the work that's been done behind the scenes?
Glad you asked that, because I do think one has to consider that there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. The NPA has never been known for its communication skills, in the sense that I don't think that they are in the news constantly trying to explain what they are doing. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that's a show all by itself. But I would like to address, for example, what Michael has said and your caller has addressed, is that there is this trust deficit and that justice must be seen to be done. You know, firstly, maybe just to declare maybe a conflict of interest, the NPA was the, you know, the employer of choice for me for nearly 20 years. And from the inside, I can tell you that there are really people just wanting to do the job to the best of their ability. But the NPA, firstly, is but one organization in a variety of organizations that deal with, for example, the crime rate in this country, and that corruption is part of that. In order for us to eradicate corruption, or at least challenge corruption successful, there has to be accountability. People need to feel the fact that if they commit corruption, if they commit any crime, that there would be consequences. Now, I think what happened in the past, and I do not know whether 5 years in a position, and this is not speaking to the person, this is just anybody in that position, will they be able to turn around an organization to the extent where we can see, but sure, now we have a prosecuting authority that is prosecuting at the, you know, at the level we require them to do so. Firstly, you know, the NPA, like I've already alluded to, can only prosecute the cases investigated by police. We know that the police itself is plagued by corruption, political interference. You know, do they have the necessary resources? While we pay more for the Blue Light Brigade than we pay for our law enforcement agencies, you can see the political priorities when it comes to combating crime. Then secondly, I don't know how many people realizes this, but, you know, the NPA gives a prosecutor, but the prosecutor will sit in a court that is manned by, you know, there needs to be a machine operator, there needs to be an interpreter, there needs to be a court building, there needs to be a judge or a magistrate, whatever, in whichever jurisdiction you are. And if you are unable to do your job because your job is directly linked to the ability of other people to do theirs, you will also not be successful. So if you don't get properly investigated cases, you don't get a proper court building, and I can assure you there are communities that is served by a prosecutor and police that needs to do it underneath a tree. And then to what extent, how is witnesses treated when they go to court? Because although state capture is a huge issue, it is a bit of a political issue as well. But secondly, I think we tend to forget about members of community that each and every day are faced by robberies, rapes. And these are the types of crime that the NPA must also still prosecute. So the problem is bigger than just the NPA. And then we have to talk about the political will in order to prioritize combating of crime and prioritizing the fact that give the NPA the resources it requires in order to successfully prosecute some of these very difficult cases. So let's take into consideration that some cases takes years to just investigate, and then it goes to a prosecutor, and that will take probably another 5, possibly 10 years to prosecute a very difficult case. Having said all of that, the question is still, do we feel that the NPA has made inroads into, you know, previous complaints we have? And I think, unfortunately, the answer is no. And the biggest criticism, for example, after hearing what was said yesterday, is that I do still get the impression that the NPA is covering their wickets. Why just accept that, you know, maybe this task is bigger than what we anticipated, and we understand the complaints of just civil society and normal individuals, that we are still not seeing what we are supposed to see. You know, that trust is still not there, and that we do not trust that you will go after whoever. That there's still this feeling that we will go after certain individuals, and it's true or not, that's the perception. And that, you know, are we looking after the rights of just ordinary citizens? And are we holding to account the people that were responsible for decimating some of our SOEs? And unfortunately, I think the answer is no. Do we still have hope? Of course. I think that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that I think the team has shown at least that there's a willingness to do something. But are we there yet? I think, unfortunately, the answer is no.
And we'll find out why. I just need to go to the Eyewitness News headlines and return to you, Michael, because I can see that you are also heated under the collar. You want to express your views on that, especially given that, remember the first state capture case that failed so horribly. The judge didn't have fancy words for the NPA and how ill-prepared they were. But let's touch on that just after Eyewitness News.
702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
072-702-1702. Your voice notes.
Morning, Thabo. I think the NPA is doing a good job. You know, when you see people killing themselves, when you see people driving into walls, they are on their heels, you know. So when you see people running out of the country, you know, NPA is doing a good job. You can't do anything. When people have money, they'll get the best lawyers, you know, to postpone everything. Court cases are postponed, everything, because they've got the best lawyers. They've got billions in their hands. So let's give them time. Things will turn. They've already turned the corner, so we can see what's going on. Thank you.
Hi, Thabo, and good morning to your visitor there. I would like to differ with your visitor there, because when she says that the NPA is actually dependent on the police investigation, I differ a lot with her when it comes to that, because the NPA is the one that is giving the police the instructions as to what to do if there is a prima facie evidence and everything. They are the ones that they write there on the backside of the docket, giving the police instructions as to where to go to make the case stronger. So she must just admit it. The NPA is failing us, and that's it. They are not competent, or I would say they are not giving proper instructions to the police. But the police, they are depending on them for their convictions. Yes, Thabo, I differ with a lot also from my lady.
Good morning, Thabo, and your guest, Anonymous from Centurion. What I noted when Shamila got to the office was that she got into that office heavy with some toxic stuff. And it was going to be very difficult for her to move things around and as fast as she would wish to do. And I think she's a very, very good person for the job, highly qualified. And we cannot expect to see what we are seeing, Senzo Meiwa, on the television screens every day. I think there's a lot going on with all the courts that are in the country, but they are not on television, those things. Some not even on the radio at all. Thank you.
Thanks very much for those, and feel free to keep your text messages coming through on 072-702-1702. We are on the dialogue, and we are looking at the NPA, if it has turned around. My guest, Michael Merchant, Head of Investigations at Open Secrets, and Stephanie Fick, Executive Director of the Accountability Division at Outer. I suspect in this instance, Stephanie, there's a lot that we don't see behind the scenes, but you've also made a very important point about communication. In this instance, more and more people are invested in knowing what's happening right inside, and it can't just be assumed that there's work taking place. But I mean, issue, is it the matter of the older being worse than the new? A case of one-eyed man in the world of the blind. Perhaps in the previous, we didn't have anything to benchmark ourselves on. And whatever we get now, we'll see it as progress. Stephanie.
Yeah, I do think so. I think we've seen this in so many other organizations. And maybe it is time for the NPA to reconsider how they, you know, communicate what they are doing. One has to accept that, you know, under certain circumstances, once you are an accused, so many constitutional rights come to the fore. You know, you have a right to a speedy trial, you have a right to representation, you are not guilty until proven guilty. So there is a level of communication and detail that the prosecuting authority will never be able to get into. But I think they are the same we experience with so many other state-owned entities, is the fact that there's no transparency, and that we all know transparency equals accountability, and that you're only going to build trust again if, South Africans can accept that whatever is happening in, for example, the NPA, or pick a state-owned, entity or state-controlled entity, is that we need to know that you are doing and performing your duties in the best interest of who? South Africa, and not self-interest or any political interest. Yeah. I just want to add this. I think political will ethical leadership is so critical for the NPA and so many other organizations to be successful.
Michael, in 10, 20 seconds, perhaps, is there hope for the future, or this is the bottom of the sea? We can't get any better or any worse in that instance.
I think, Thabo, there's definitely hope. And I'd return to what I said at the beginning. The NPA is in a better place than it was 5 years ago. It's not that it hasn't moved at all. I think our argument is that we haven't seen enough movement and enough progress and openness. The last thing I would say is that, just to go back to the choice of cases, is that the NPA really needs to prioritize and identify some high-profile cases that it can successfully prosecute so that justice can be seen to be done.
Really, thank you both for your time. Michael Merchant, Head of Investigations at Open Secrets. Stephanie Fick, Executive Director of the Accountability Division at Outer.